Our scripture lesson this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 16. Hear now the word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual day wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." You also go in the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then coming to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last workers only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God. Shall we pray? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's not fair. If you have children or any experience with them, you have bound to hear this out of their mouths. It's not fair that I don't get to go to that rock concert. It's not fair that I don't have my own car. It's not fair that I have to clean my room. Nothing is fair. The truth is, a lot of us think things aren't fair, but after a certain level of maturity, we keep quiet about it. But children speak. Maybe not the choir, huh? Well, my children started saying that the world wasn't fair when they were about 4, and they're still at it. Maybe someday it'll end. But it's true. Life is not fair, is it? Is it fair? Is it fair that the stock market did its little thing the other day and hurt all of our investments? Is it fair when the doctor says your spouse has cancer, when you know your spouse is such a good person and they've always been so good about exercise and eating right? It's just not fair that they would get cancer. A lot of things are not fair. I have a good friend in Connecticut, and she was like very thin, and yet I have seen Lynn eat an entire apple pie by herself and never gave an ounce. I would go near the pie and I would put on a pound. It's not fair, I would say. Also in Connecticut, the associate pastor used to say, "Life is not fair, and the weather is fair only occasionally." Now, if he'd have lived in Florida, he'd have been able to say, only the weather is fair. Because the truth is, we usually have fair weather here. Unless we're having a hurricane. And sometimes they don't seem very fair, do they? The truth is, though, life is not fair. Not fair by our standards of what makes up fair. We expect if something is fair, it's going to be really good for me. Fair is when everything is going my way and everything I want or could ever want is happening to me. But the truth is, we all have a life that is fair, more than fair. We have been given the great gift of God's presence in our lives, far more than we sometimes realize. It is the fairness, not that God gives everybody equal, because God doesn't. There are those of us who have plenty to eat, who have jobs to go to if we want, or help if we need it. And there are those right here in Brevard County who do not have those things. Many times what we see as fair is when things are in our favor. I think the reason why the laborers are upset is they had come to expect more than fair. A day's wage was fair. And they got a day's wage. So what happened to them was fair. But what they saw was that other people got a day's wage for working less than a day. So they immediately felt upset and angry because they had expected more. And it's the expectation always of more that we often find is not fair. We somehow want everything to be perfect. For everything we have in life to go smoothly along. But fair is a difficult thing because we really don't want fair. Fair might mean, in fact probably would mean, that I would have to give up some of the things that I love, some of the things I count as possessions, if I were going to be fair. Part of why things are good for me is because things happened in my life to turn out well for me. I grew up middle class with an opportunity to go to school where there are people in the world who don't have that. We know that we have the wonder of being born in this country, and sometimes we forget how wonderful that is. I will tell you that I've noticed in churches that sometimes we get upset about fairness when we think something isn't fair, when we have taken a job that we have the talent for, that we wanted, that we enjoy doing, but nobody ever says anything to us about it. No one pats us on the back and thanks us for doing our job. And we say, it's not fair that I put in all these hours into the life of the church and nobody notices it. Now, I'm sure that doesn't happen here, but I know it happens in other churches. People become disgruntled because they not only want to have the fairness of that job, they want also to have something extra. And that's what the laborers wanted. They wanted more than what was promised them. They want extra. They want the pat on the back. And I also know that those workers who were outstanding in the marketplace in the first century had nothing to fall back on. If they did not work that day, they would not have food. That was a fact of life then. There was no undergirding support system. There was no sharing center. And I know that for a lot of people, if you don't work, you don't get paid, there's not a lot to fall back on. But that was especially true in the first century. One of the things that happens in the life of the church is the church, the early Christians, begin to share what they have with those who come in the door. And it's seen as such a miracle that they're willing to share. And sharing is part of being a Christian. But we say, oh, this is not fair, or that is not fair, often because we don't want to give any of what we have up. I sometimes find that God wants me to do things, and I will say, it's not fair to ask me to do that. I've already got enough to do. I've already got this or that to take care of. I don't need any more. It's not fair to ask that of me. But God has the right to ask that of me. And I should get up and do it. Now, one of the things I know, too, about being a Christian is sometimes God asks me to dig deeper in my pockets and give to others. Because I don't even give God a tip now. I only give God a tithe. I do tithe religiously. But a tithe is 10%. If I gave God a tip the last time I was at a restaurant, it would be 15 to 18%. But I only give God a tip. I give him 10%. Now, one of the important things about fairness is it's how we perceive it. It's how we have seen it. Once many years ago, a man came into my office and said, I just want to let you know that my mother-in-law's brother died. I said, Ron, I'm so sorry to hear that. He said, why? I said, well, your mother-in-law lost her brother. He said, yeah, the man was 85 years old, Clarice. I said, well, so? There's still loss and grief there. He said, do you know that my daughter, today would have been her birthday. She had been 21 years old, but she died at 10. That's not fair. Fairness depends on how we look at it. It depended on those particular laborers' view of it. And we don't want God's fair judgment of us because we want grace. We want grace instead. Because grace is that wonderful thing that God gives that says, I will give you more than you can ever imagine. I will give you the greatest gift of all, my presence. To be in the presence of the Creator. To have God's presence with you. To know that you can count on that. I myself have found that that presence is the most valuable thing in my life. God's presence, that knowing that God is there for me to lean on, has given me courage, comfort, solace. I serve as a part-time chaplain at Cape Canaveral Hospital. If you need a chaplain in the middle of the night on Thursday evening at Cape Canaveral, they will page me and I will get up and go to Cape Canaveral and be the chaplain for you. Now, it's an interesting place because I do not know the people that I walk into. They're not members of my congregation or members of this congregation. They're people who need a chaplain. And they're people I've not seen before and in most cases will never see again. And I come in not to bring God's presence because God's presence is there, but to remind them that God is present. That's my job because God is there. But we sometimes don't notice God, even in the most difficult times. If the people are people of faith, when I come and remind them of God's presence, they will find hope and solace from that knowledge. If they are not, no matter what I say, it will be of little comfort and little solace. It will only be the presence of a person who cares about them in their grief and sorrow. But if I can come and remind them of the presence of God, it will mean so much more. And that is something they can take with them. I heard this story about Bill Gates' father. Bill Gates' father, I don't know if he asked his son first before he told this story, but he said that his son was very gifted and very creative and was probably a genius, and that what he was a genius at was taking what was creative information and making it into a vision. He said, but you know what? Bill would not be where he is today and would not have been able to do what he did if he had not been born on second base. He said the family he was born into had a father who was a partner in a very prestigious law firm and a mother who could spend time with him and who was a concert pianist. He was born on second base. The same person who had the same gifts as Bill Gates would not have been able to do that if he'd been born in the dugout. I admire him for saying that because so often we forget how important it is that all of us were born on second base. I say that because you're all here. Somehow you found your way to Cocoa Beach Community Church. And that means that you have found a community which you can be part of and experience the presence of God. I know what a great pastor Fred Forey is, and you have a second base ability to be here in this place. You have this unique gift. You have God's presence here. You have Fred here every week to preach and study with and learn. You have a congregation that has a vision. You are so lucky. You have found second base, if not so that you can make that home run and with God. Why? I don't know. Maybe you were fortunate, as someone told me, that when she first came here, she was church shopping and the first church she shopped at was here, and she walked in the door and that was it. She knew this was where she belonged. You have this incredible gift that is far beyond fairness. It's a gift of grace. You have the grace of being part of a wonderful community of faith. A faith that can sustain you and guide you and help you to grow as a disciple, so that the work you do in this church is to the glory of God. Not to be patted on the back, not to be complimented, but to be thankful for that God has given you a place to be a disciple. Praise be to God. Amen.